Okay, we're continuing with Drushos Haran. We're in the Drusha Shlishi, and the Moseder of Cooks are on page Kuf Beis. Okay, so last week we learned that Moshe Rabbeinu was lifted to the highest level of Nevuah, where it was impossible to reach. That's because Moshe was going to get the Torah, so he had to reach the level that was humanly impossible to reach. So this week, the Ran wonders, Im kein yesh l'tmoa, we have to wonder, Acher sheyishlimu Hashem yisbarach b'chol shehu l'mayla miteva ha'anoshi, since Hashem made a miracle to make Moshe reach the highest level, even more than was humanly possible. Eich rata Hashem yisbarach sheyechzar davar me'ashlimus, shem b'teva ha'anoshi l'hasik b'shlimus ha'davar. How could it be that Hashem would want Moshe Rabbeinu to be lacking in something that most people, regular people, are perfect in, and that is speech? You know, Moshe had some kind of speech impediment. He had something wrong with his speech. And the Ran wants to know, if Moshe Rabbeinu was so on a high level, why did Hashem make it that he couldn't speak? Vim tashiv etarmen, if you'll respond, ki ein mitnai malas hanavi, rak sheyishalim b'malas sechlios, and if you're going to say that, who cares? Being a Navi is a spiritual thing. What do we care if Moshe Rabbeinu had a physical issue with his mouth? To be a great Navi, so you have to be a great tzaddik and maybe some other intellectual levels. But maybe you'll say it doesn't matter if a Navi can't speak. So what? So that's a physical thing. He doesn't have to be perfect in physical things. So says the Ranin Hadavar Kain, that's not so. Because the Gemara says, that Nevuah, prophecy, only rests on a wise man, a strong man, a rich man, and a humble man. Moshe had all of those. Hare Gibur v'Asher, strong and rich, ainin ma'ilos sichlios, that's not an intellectual property, trait, good character trait. Good trait, rather. Lo malos midos, and it's not a mila in his character traits, being rich and strong. Im kol zeh, still, even though that shouldn't have been relevant, tein mitznai anavi. You see, a prophet does have to be on a high level, even in physical things. He should be perfect in physical ways, too. Vaf apishiesh mi shapirish, and even though there's someone, and this someone he refers to as the Rambam, even though there's someone who explains ki begibor, when the Chazal said gibor ratzibo, they meant hakovish etzitzro, they didn't mean somebody who's physically strong. The Rambam says they meant someone who's kovish etzitzro, who conquers his evil inclination, his yitzhara. Uba asher mi sheesh lo midas haistapkus fuasamech mechalko, when they said rich, they didn't mean physically rich, they meant someone who is happy with his portion, like we say in Pirkei Avos. Ein adavar kein, the Ran says, I don't think that's true at all. Because over there in the Gemara Nedarim, when it says that Moshe had all these character traits, Moshe had all these milas, that he was rich and strong and all that, how did they prove that Moshe was a gibor? Because it said Moshe Rabbeinu could lift the two luchos by himself. The usher, and how do we know he's rich? Because when he was cutting the luchos shnius, the second set of luchos, so the leftover stuff when he was sculpting it, so the leftover pieces he got to keep, and he got rich from that. That's not talking about character traits. It's not talking about intellectual milas. Rather, those are things that are physical. He was actually physically rich. He was physically strong. Rather, the real pshat is, says the Ran, ki anavi roi shiyeh shalim b'chol hashlemiyo shehein inyan nichbad b'enei ha-hamon. A navi must be perfect and on the highest level of things that the masses think is honorable and important. Why does he have to be like that, like rich and strong? L'mayla seklal, because of the honor of the people he represents, shushaluach aleim, that he is sent to. It's for the honor of Klal Yisrael, that the person who's in charge of them should be someone who is strong and honorable. L'man yud varv nishmaim, and also so that people should listen to him. If he looks like a chash of a guy, so then people aren't going to listen to him. Vim kein, if so, echi tachin, then how could it be? Shetechson l'moshe, b'ino alav shalom ala shleim asetibur. How could it be that Moshe had a lisp? V'hinei ein tzafik, there's no doubt, shacharesh ha-mailos ha-sichlios ha-mailos ha-midos. There's no doubt that after the spiritual or intellectual milas that are important for a Navi to have, when you start going to the physical ones, in Shemaila Shtia Yosef Roy Le Navi Mizos, there's no more important trait that a Navi needs to have, Li Yoso Tzarech Ledaber Tamid, Lefnei Kol Rabim Amim. There's no more important trait than speech, for a Navi, because he always has to be talking. So the most important thing for a Navi to be able to do is to speak. At Shehayoso Nikra Navi, in fact, the reason a Navi is called a Navi is Nigzer Diburo Tamid, Mitzad Diburo Tamid, is because he's always speaking. Ki Hashem Milosha Nivsvasayim. The word Navi comes from the words Nivsvasayim, a moving mouth. So the whole point of a Navi, the Navi is a Navi because he speaks. V'ra'inu od Shemoshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom Niflum, is that we see also Moshe Rabbeinu seems himself a little surprised by it. Echaya, that Moshe Rabbeinu was surprised, how could it be Shachareish Nivchal Navi, after Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen to be a Navi, the Husar Kovid Piv Ulashono, that his speech impediment didn't go away. Hu Omro, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. When he speaks to Moshe, when Moshe speaks to Hashem, Hashem asked him, told him to go to Mitzrayim and take the Jews out of Egypt. So Moshe responds, Lo ish dvarim anochi, I can't speak well, gam mitmo, gam mishalshom, from yesterday, from the day before, gam mi az dabercha lavdecha, and even after we spoke, I still can't speak well. Vein safik, and there is no doubt, says the Ran, ki omro mi az dabercha lavdecha, when Moshe Rabbeinu added those words, even after we spoke, hu kamat mia, he's like asking a question, I'll say, wondering, echu, Shacharei dabercha elavdecha lahusar kovid pi. How could it be that after we spoke, and I'm supposed to be the Navi, how come I still have a lisp? Like Moshe didn't get it. Hashem actually did not respond to that. Rak, all Hashem said was, Misam pel adam, who makes a person talk, and who makes anything happen, l'fi anira, enachuva leninate maklal. It seems the answer of Hashem saying, who can make people speak, doesn't really answer the question. Especially if Moshe Rabbeinu was wondering, how come I don't speak? So just responding, well, I could make people speak. Well, what does that have to do with anything? V'ra'inu other Rabbi Seinu Zal, marchikim ma'od, shiyeh l'moshe mum guf niklal. We also find the Chazal, anytime someone wants to suggest Moshe had some kind of mum at all, other than this one, Chazal seem to say, no, he doesn't have that mum. Amru perak ha-makna, v'hinei na'ar bocha, ha-makane rather, v'hinei na'ar bocha, v'atachmol alav, v'atomre mi'aldei ho'ivrim zeh. So it says that when Moshe was found by Basya, so she saw Moshe, he was a na'ar bocha. He was a na'ar, usually means a young adult, teenager, whatever it is. He was crying. So she felt bad for him, and she said, this kid is from the Jews. Karle yelad v'karle na'ar. It says it's a yelad, he was a child, but it also calls him a na'ar. And then the voice was the voice of a na'ar bocha, so he's called a na'ar. Who yelled v'kolo kanar? He was a child, but his voice was that like of a na'ar. Amalei Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Nechemya said to that, Imkain, if that were true, asisa l'moshe b'almum, then you would have made Moshe Rabbeinu having some kind of imperfection, that his voice wasn't right. So, says the Ran, achrei asher tamo b'zeh, since they thought that was impossible, echlo tamo l'abavur b'kasav, how could they not be surprised what it says explicitly in the pasuk? Heyosu kvad peh v'kvad lashon, that he had some kind of lisp. The answer to all this is Kimios HaTorah V'Kibula Davar HaYoser Gadol. Since the Torah and its receiving and the receiving of the Torah was the most important thing ever, She'efshir She'yia B'min HaNoshi, that would ever happen in human history, ever. Ro'i La'am She'yikablenu, it's fitting that the nation that would receive it, She'yunasnu Ho'ra'os Chazako She'HaTorah Hi'amitis, that there should be solid proof so that the people who get it, receive it, and who to know that it's true. It needs to be solid basis, solid foundations, that everyone would know that the Torah we received is true. V'sheyusar kol safik, and every type of doubt should be removed, be'osan ha'oros, from those proofs, me'ainyin kulo b'chlalo she'ino ba'kim b'koach eloki, that everyone would know, absolutely 100% sure, that the Torah came from God. V'alzeh nimshach inyin yitzias Mitzrayim kulo, that's the whole point of yitzias Mitzrayim, sheratz Hashem yizbarach, that Hashem wanted, she's chadshu ha'osos b'geula ha'hi, she b'li safek haschalas ha'Torah, that Hashem wanted miracles to happen in that redemption, because the redemption from Egypt was the beginning of the Torah. L'man yedu klal Yisrael, ki anim nos b'chok ha'teva, enim nos b'chok Hashem yizbarach, so that the B'nai Yisrael should know that which is impossible in nature is not impossible to God. Kizos hapina, because this foundation, Hayosir Gedola Badas, is the most important thing to know in a religion, Umishi Yichbar, in our religion, Umishi Yichbar, so someone who denies that God is more powerful than nature, Yichbar Adas Bechala, is totally denying the whole religion, Vivatil Gmil Vonosh Lagamri, and he won't believe that God can pay back or punish at all. Biyos Zek Kotev HaTorah Sher Alav Tisov, and since this is the hinge, the point that the Torah revolves around, B'tchilas ha-ge'ula, at the beginning of the redemption, she'akdama la-Torah, which is the introduction, the things that comes before the Torah, the beginning of the Torah, ra'atzeh Hashem yisbarach she'isparsim zahadas be'eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem wanted it to be known that Hashem has power above nature. He wanted it to become known, especially dafka in Egypt. Because Egypt was the land the most filled with magicians, real magicians who had some kind of magic, some kind of powers that were somewhat above nature. That which will be understood there to be impossible by nature, and that magic cannot make it, asher hisif misif misifei hachachma ativis. Now, Ran calls magic just one of the branches of wisdom. Let's get back to that in a second. I'll just finish the sentence. Roishi amin shuhunase b'koch elokei b'li safek. So if in the land of the magicians, the greatest magicians, so they know that this is not physically possible, so then everyone will know that it's God, from God for sure. V'shem nimna etal tebel eina nimna b'koch Hashem isbarach. And things that are impossible in nature are not impossible to God. And just to stop here for a second, it's important to understand, in general, I think this is an important point in many of the things we read in the Torah, is that there are things that are physical, like picking up a book. There are things that are spiritual completely, like souls, let's say, and malachim. And then there are things that are in between. Not 100% physical, not 100% really spiritual either. They're somewhat in between. So just take something that's not a good example of this, but it's like, just to get the idea, if you have a magnet, you take a magnet, you put it near something metal, and it seems to miraculously move towards the magnet. Now that's not magic. We all know that that's physical, but it doesn't appear physical. There's nothing I can see with my eye that explains why that happens. It's almost spiritual. Of course, it's not at all. It's very physical. That's the idea. There are things that are getting there. So that a magnet is a good example of something that we know it's physical, or the fact that you turn on a radio and you can hear something. So are there radio waves in the air? Yes, but you can't see them. It's almost like spiritual. It's not, though. It's totally physical. So there are things like that. So Kishuv magic is something like that, where it's not physical, it works with spiritual things. It's not like a magnet or radio waves. It works with things that are truly spiritual, but not quite. It works with under certain parameters, and you can only do what you can do. In a certain sense, it's just a chachma. Not in every sense, it's just a chachma. It's just a wisdom. You just have to know what to do, but it's a limited thing. There's still a nature to that. It only works in certain ways, just like nature only works with certain properties. God is not bound by anything like that. But it's a thing that's not physical, this magic, the real magic of the Torah. But it's not spiritual in all the way up to the real ruchnius. It works under, and certainly not compared to Hashem, obviously. It works under certain parameters that Hashem created, just like Hashem created parameters for all physical things. Anyway, v'zeha inyan nirmos l'rabboseinu. And just that's important, because when you hear about things like this is a segula for this, if you're talking about doing mitzvahs, that's one thing. But people talk about segulas in general, it's important to keep that in mind, that segulas are of that middling nature sometimes, where they're connected to spiritual things, but it's not real ruchnius in that sense. Okay, anyway, let's go on. This is hinted to by our rabbis in Maseches Menachos. Amri le Yuchni umamre le Moshe. So these two magicians, Yuchni and Amri, they said to Moshe, you're coming here to, and he put down the stick and it turned into a snake. So they said, oh, good job, you're bringing more straw into a place that was full of it. Armalahu, Amri Inchi, the Masa Yarka, Yarka Shkol. So in the place of vegetables, that's where you should go get your vegetables. Kach Pirusho. This is what it means. Yuchni umamri shayu mechatume mitzrayim. Yochni Amamri, these were magicians in Mitzrayim. Chashu she'ela ha'osas ha'shechidah shanavi yanavim. They thought that these miracles that Moshe did with the stick, shechidshin bosan ha'tachbos, they thought he used magic to do it. L'kach tafsu olav, therefore they thought they got him. Acharei shebel ha'ramas ha'hamon, l'daitim ha'maguna, since he wants to, they thought Moshe trying to trick everybody. Eichalach l'aretz mleyem ha'yayel ha'tachbos. Why would he try to peddle his tricks in Egypt, when everybody knows how to do tricks there? You can't fool anyone in Mitzrayim. The Heshev, and he responded, Amri Inchi, the people say, L'mas Yarka, Yarka Shkol. Kilomer, that means to say, Shah Shalim Be'ezedavar, if you're good at something, perfect at something, Lotukar Godol Ma'al, so you can't tell how great it is, Kim Be'eretz, Shi'im Tzu'uba, Chachamim Yosedavar Be'atzmo, unless you go to a place where everybody else is good at it too. In other words, if you're good at basketball and you want to show everybody how great you are, so playing in the court and with your friends doesn't show how great you are. You want to show how really great you are, try to play in the NBA and see if you're great there. So if you go to a place where people are good at stuff, so then if you're even better than them, that then shows how really smart you are. That if you want to sell vegetables, super good vegetables, so sell it in a city where there's lots of vegetables. Because there, people will know. If you have something special, they'll know, wow, that is special. It'll be worth a lot of money. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu's miracles will be more recognized and appreciated in Mitzrayim. Because in Mitzrayim, they'll know that it's not a cheap trick. They'll know it's above nature. Because then in Mitzrayim, it'll be clear that this is no trick. This is from God. And that people can't come up with a way to do this themselves. He named Cain, if so, therefore. So the whole story is made so that there should be no suffix that it's all coming from Hashem. And therefore, Nishla Moshe b'chol ha'shleimus. That's exactly why, in everything other than speech, Moshe Rabbeinu was on the highest level of everything in all perfections. So that's Yavi Lahamin She'inyanu B'Koach Elokei. So then people believe that his whole thing happened through God. The Husar Mimenu B'Hashgacha Gemura Hadibur Hatzach, and the fact that he can't speak must be also from God. Lama'an why? Lo Yichashev She'heyos Kla Yisrael G'duleim Nemshachim Acharav. So people shouldn't think the fact that the Jewish people and their great ones, the great people of the Jewish people, the reason why they went after Moshe, maybe you think because he's such a good orator. Like people say, someone who's a great orator, he can schlep along all kinds of followers. People are going to think that when he says false things that they're true, like we see in the political world all the time. We know from the Holocaust and Hitler, we know someone who's a good speaker can say not true things, they sound true, and he could schlep along everybody with him, with millions of people. So someone who can't speak, who speaks with a lisp, so even when he says something true, no one would believe it, because he just doesn't sound like he knows what he's talking about, because he's got a lisp, unless it's absolutely clear what he's saying is true. That's why Hashem had to make it that he couldn't speak well. Bashkacha Gemuru is a special thing on purpose. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu happened to have a speech impediment. He had to have a speech impediment, because that would help prove that everything Moshe Rabbeinu said was absolutely true, because if they would believe it even from someone who doesn't speak well, it must absolutely be true. Okay, we'll stop here for this week.